Answers Magazine, Volume 12.5, page 29, Science in Perspective, Quick Takes. Beauty for Beauty's Sake. Evolution stumbles over the elaborate beauty we find throughout nature. Producing and maintaining all this beauty wastes energy needed for survival. A peacock's cumbersome, ostentatious feathers, for example, don't contribute to the bird's survival. So why does nature maintain all this beauty? It just doesn't make sense. Darwin recognized the problem, too, because it runs contrary to his doctrine of survival of the fittest. But he just couldn't deny that some animals seem to have features that actually hinder their survival. So he suggested a solution, but he was never entirely satisfied with it. He proposed that females select the males that attract them, even if it doesn't help their fitness. The problem is that such unfitness should weed out costly beauty over millions of years. For that reason, most modern biologists argue that this can't work long term. They assert that apparent beauty must represent some underlying fitness to survive, even if it's not immediately apparent. But ornithology professor Richard Prum, who has spent his life wrestling with this problem, now sides with the prevalence of beauty that dramatically hinders survival. In his new book, The Evolution of Beauty, Prum claims that females are attracted to beauty itself, not inherent survival advantages. Now evolution is back to square one. Beauty isn't pervasive, but it shouldn't be. If creatures have been struggling for millions of years to survive against constant threat of extinction, then females' whimsical preferences should harm the species' chances for survival. They just do, and it works, is not a scientific answer. Prum marvels at nature's beauty, but misses the true source behind it. A creator who loves beauty and wants it reflected throughout nature provides a much more compelling answer to the riddle of nature's splendor. God created beauty for His glory and our enjoyment.
Young Early Man. In what has been touted as one of the greatest finds of this century, a large collection of strange but human-like fossils were discovered in a South African cave in 2015. These creatures had long arms, like apes, but other features purportedly like humans. The discoverers quickly touted their discovery as the latest human ancestor and named it Homo naledi. But nobody was certain how old it was, a critical factor when placing it in the evolutionary story. If the fossils found in the cave are human ancestors, they should be older than modern human fossils. But they aren't. Using various dating methods, researchers were surprised to discover that H. naledi yields dates younger than some indisputably human remains. The ages are inaccurate because they're based on evolutionary assumptions. But the relative ages are still useful. We can test whether one fossil is older than another, even if we don't know how much older. Based on these relative dates, H. naledi must have lived at the same time as humans. Creationists are not surprised by such results. Genesis chapter 1 is clear that humans were created on the same day as apes. Apes and humans later got off the ark at the same time and spread over the earth. The Homo naledi fossils were found in caves that formed after the flood, about the same time as we found modern human remains in caves. So it's not surprising that many ape fossils have the same dates as human fossils, and they aren't in the same lineage. Biblical geologist wins legal battle. After two attempts and a lawsuit, biblical geologist Dr. Andrew Snelling finally received research permits to do fieldwork in the Grand Canyon. He had conducted research in the canyon before, seeking to provide further evidence that the canyon formed recently, not millions of years ago. But in 2013, when he applied for a permit to do further research, it was denied twice. Seeking emails from park officials under the Freedom of Information Act, lawyers found the officials had unconstitutionally denied Dr. Snelling's permit because they despised his religious beliefs, rather than for any shortcomings in the scientific merits of his proposal. Lawyers filed suit in federal court, and the Park Service backed down on June 28. The park superintendent admitted the validity of the proposed research. Dr. Snelling's proposal is well stated, with methods that are similar or equal to standard scientific practice. Michael Kitchen, lead counsel for Snelling, remarked, "This settlement benefits everyone, in that it sends the message that the government will not interfere with basic scientific inquiry by blocking access to data based on a researcher's religious faith."
Puppy slobber is good for you. Dirt and germs may not be so bad for babies after all. Several studies over the past 20 years have found that children who grew up with dogs have lower rates of asthma, obesity, and other health problems. It seems that the Western world's obsession with dirt-free cleanliness and people's tendency to stay indoors is partially behind rising rates of allergies and autoimmune diseases. The cleanliness crusade, especially the antibacterial fetish, overlooks the fact that God created bacteria as an integral part of the health of our bodies. It's not really a dog-eat-dog world after all. God made us to share the same world with animals. Children who grow up with dogs and other pets tend to have a more diverse community of gut bacteria. Evolutionary researchers propose an alternative view. Humans and dogs have been living together for so long that we become dependent on each other, including for a healthy range of gut bacteria. This makeshift interpretation misses the mark. God designed life as a community. We need each other, from the microbes that help our bodies function to the world around us that provides food and clothing. The intricate interplay of living organisms clearly points to the Creator's design.
The first wave of American immigrants. Recent research may radically rewrite the common secular history of human settlement in the Americas, which ignores the Bible's revelation that the whole human race spread from Babel only a few thousand years ago. The standard story has been that humans arrived in the Americas hundreds of thousands of years after they first settled Eurasia. By then, all the Neanderthals and other Ice Age peoples supposedly had died out. But mastodon bones in California show signs of having been deliberately broken by human beings. To the chagrin of evolutionary researchers, these Ice Age bones predate the supposed arrival of humans in the New World, purportedly by 115,000 years. If it is true that humans used stone tools to break open these mastodon bones, then people came to the Americas earlier than most archaeologists have assumed. Evolutionary archaeologists are making the radical claim that these long-forgotten California hunters may have been Neanderthals, or another people known as Denisovans. The mastodon bones were broken in a manner that suggests people were trying to get to the nutritious bone marrow. The types of fractures indicate the bones were fresh when they were broken open. They weren't broken by later earth movements. Nearby stones were the right size for humans to wield. Both the bones and stones show wear, consistent with the idea that the stones were used to break the bones. Researchers achieved similar wear in experiments by breaking elephant bones with stones. This research is quite controversial, but Christians who accept the Bible's account of human history wouldn't be surprised at all if the descendants of the enterprising humans who left Babel by land and sea also figured out how to settle the Americas quickly. And since Neanderthals were fully human and intelligent like all the others, they too could have traveled across the ocean.
Stony Dragon. In the spring of 2017, the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Canada's Alberta province unveiled a new exhibit showcasing one of the best-preserved dinosaur fossils ever found. The whole creature, including soft body parts, appears to have been preserved in stone instantly, without deforming or decaying. Researchers excavated the front half of what was once an 18-foot nodosaur. It belongs to the group of famous armored tanks known as ankylosaurs. The fossil had most of its scales, armor plating, and even internal detail of ribs, tendons, and stomach contents. The petrified details of skin texture and internal arrangement of organs are a bonanza for researchers trying to understand the anatomy of dinosaurs. Unlike most dinosaur fossils, this nodosaur was not flattened under the weight of sediments before it hardened. It looks like a statue. Surprisingly, This fossil was found in ocean sediments. So researchers are scrambling to explain how a large land-dwelling plant eater wound up at the bottom of the ocean. They speculate that perhaps the dinosaur was washed into a river when it died and then bloated. Then water supposedly carried it out to sea, where after a week or two the carcass burst and the dinosaur sank to the ocean floor, where it was somehow preserved intact. The problem is that animals usually do not fossilize immediately. Bacteria would eat soft tissue, and ocean scavengers would make quick work of a carcass. While secular scientists acknowledge that a flood may have been involved, they think it was just a local flood that washed the body into a river, not the global flood of Noah's day. That unique, one-time event could provide the unique chemical mixtures and temperature variations that can explain remarkably rapid preservation unlike anything we see today.